Well, we have Christ the King Sunday, and on this Christ the King Sunday, we're continuing our journey through the Old Testament, and we meet quite a different king than Christ our King. The king in the early scripture, the scripture from Jeremiah, is a guy named Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and he wasn't thought favorably. The rabbis wrote about how he was such an immoral guy, so he wanted to do whatever he wanted to do. And obviously, he was a man who lived in great fear. Two things that I pick out from reading the story about King Jehoiakim. He lived in a time when Judah was a very weak kingdom. It was caught between two great powers, Babylon in the north and Egypt in the south. In fact, Egypt ruled when he came to the throne. In fact, that's who got him on the throne. Egypt came up and took his brother off the throne, put him on there. And I think the message from Egypt was quite clear: do what we tell you to do, or we'll do this again. We'll take you off and put someone else who will do what we want them to do, which was largely about giving them all the money, the tribute that they wanted. So Jehoiakim had to really raise taxes and give stuff from Judah to Egypt just to survive. So I think he was a man who lived in a lot of fear. It wasn't very far into his reign when Babylon came down and conquered Judah. And, of course, he just switched allegiances. Okay, I'm a good Babylonian servant. Well, in a few years, then Egypt comes back and conquers it again. Oh, I'm a good Egyptian. And then it really falls apart after that, but you have to wait for that part. Well, King Jehoiakim ruled over in Judah. Of course, the prophet Jeremiah was speaking the word of the Lord to the people. And when a prophet spoke the word of the Lord, they spoke about how the people and the king did according to the covenant of God, the Sinai covenant. Remember, the Lord, the God, took him out of Egypt, the house of Egypt, out of bondage, made a covenant with him on Sinai, and brought him into the promised land. And he says, because I've done this for you, therefore, here's what I want you to do. I want you to obey these commands, like, have no other gods before me. Remember the Sabbath day. Don't kill. Don't covet. So he brought this word to them, and the sense was, if you kept his commandments and kept this covenant, good things would happen. They call them blessings. You break them, and you get the bad things, the curses. And of course, what Jeremiah was telling King Jehoiakim and his nation, you're heading for the curses. You're heading for the bad things. In fact, you're heading for destruction. And he wrote these words up on a scroll. And he gave them to the king. And King Jehoiakim read them. It was winter. He was sitting by his little warming fire. And each time he read a section of it, he took his knife, cut it off, and threw it in the fire. So as they read a section, he cut it off, threw it in the fire. Very clear what that means. I don't want this word. I want no one to have anything to do with this word. This is nothing I care about. So, not surprisingly, at the Jeremiah concludes, the king would not listen. That's more than just physically hear the words. Obviously, he physically heard the words. But the king would not listen, as in take heed, take heart, respond in some way to this word of God that was coming to him. But again, King Jehoiakim, I think, was too worried about living as he wanted, as he pleased, is according to his own agenda or whatever, as well as doing what his overlord, the Egyptians or the Babylonians, whoever was there, made him do, which was largely about raising money and trying to survive as king. Well, as I think about us today, I think those two things are still there for us, that we get caught up in our own agendas. It's hard to hear God. We get caught up in our own fears. It's hard to heed God, even on a good day. You know, I learned this as a seminary student. I was going out and doing preaching at a little local congregation there in Minneapolis, and I was trying to preach grace, you know, that we're saved by grace. I was working that whole thing. And at the end, I was shaking people's hands going out the door, and one person came up to me, a woman, and said, "Hey, good sermon, Pastor. I always thought it was we were saved by works." I'm just going, okay, what happened there? You know, of course, it raises questions, because I was just trying to say the very opposite thing. Of course, saying it's not works, it's grace. And I'm thinking, well, maybe it's something I wasn't very clear about. I don't know. But I think it was more because she had what she had in her head, and it wasn't going to change very easily. You know what I'm saying there? It's hard when we have things in our head to really say, and receive something that's different, that's contrary. We might not be as brazen in our lack of hearing as Jehoiakim cutting the scroll and burning it and that whole thing. But subtly we can go our own way and fears get into us, so we can't hear. We don't hear. It's a problem. And of course, this all doesn't work out well for King Jehoiakim. King Jehoiakim, again, I said, Egypt was first ruling, then it was Babylon, then it was Egypt again, and Babylon comes back, 598 BC, quite a while ago, and attacks the city. Now Jehoiakim is hopelessly aligned with Egypt, and they lay siege to Jerusalem, Babylon does, and during that siege, it was a three-month-long siege, Jehoiakim dies, and the people take his body and toss it over the walls. Now, for the good Jewish people, that was a huge sacrilege. That was a sign of disgust about this person. Because if you're a good Jewish person, of course, you wash the body carefully, right away. You anoint it with oils, you wrap it, and you carefully and honorably lay it in the grave within 2 days. So to throw it out and leave it to the elements was a huge message on the part of the people of Judah and Jerusalem at that time about how they felt about King Jehoiakim. So it did not turn out well for him. Later, the second part of the reading we have for today, Jeremiah, and it kept going bad for Judah, because not only did they attack this time, but they came back later when they felt like Judah wasn't obeying, and they ransacked the city. They flattened it. They knocked the walls down, they knocked the buildings down, including the temple. They killed most of the people, and they haul off a remnant, they call it, as slaves for Babylon. For Babylon. And Jeremiah is one of those people they haul off. So Jeremiah is now in the second part of our reading, this Old Testament reading there, is now in Babylon writing. And he writes something very differently. He goes from his doom and gloom to giving a message of hope. He said, you know, thus says the Lord, you know, it's no longer, you know, I'm going to give you a new covenant. Not like the old one, which they kept breaking. And that was the issue, wasn't it? It wasn't just Jehoiakim. It was coming and coming. You know, they kept trying to obey these commands and living according to the covenant. They just kept ruining it. They kept breaking it. So Jeremiah, looking back at this history, this sad history, saying, how can this be different? How can we do something that people can keep? Of course, he goes on to explain it. He says, not like the old covenant with the book, but I will write it on their hearts and their minds. And they will just know the Lord. I will work within them and change them. Because the fault of all the breakings is just, we don't have it. We humans are too messed up, too flawed, too stubborn about our stuff, too unable to hear and receive and be transformed by something that kind of sits outside of us. That's what the law kind of did. It was like this, all these things they had to do outside of us, and somehow it had to get into us, and we had to change. Something needs to come in us that makes us want to do it, not have to do it. Want to do it. And of course, our hope for that, we believe, is being fulfilled through Jesus Christ. You think of his first words when he came out. He told the people that the kingdom of God was at hand. Well, that was something none of them believed. The kingdom of God for these people, God's good rule on earth. They looked around at their lives and what they were suffering in the day and all the bad things going on. They said, there's no kingdom of God around here. It's missing. I don't see a shred of it around. And they didn't believe it was there. And he said, repent, which doesn't mean feel sorry. It means change your thinking on this and trust this good news. And of course, the kingdom of God he was talking about was coming through him. Jesus was bringing this kingdom of God. He was helping it come into the world through his life. And you think of what he did. He went and touched sick people. You weren't supposed to do that. And he healed them. He went to and ate with sinners and the down and out and the outcasts, and he wasn't supposed to do that. And he forgave people. He came with this word of forgiveness so that people knew their sins weren't just hanging there, bringing more judgment, as the prophets kept hammering at. He said, no, there's good news here for you folks. The good news from this new covenant. Which brings us to our gospel reading where Jesus is there on Passover. Remember, that's a remembrance of the Sinai covenant, of the law. And he says, I have a new covenant for you here, folks. It's in my blood. It brings the forgiveness of sin. I have this new thing for you. That you too might know this love in your lives. That you might be transformed in your hearts and your minds. Not to do God's law and to do what is right because you have to or else you'll be punished. But because you want to. Because it comes from within. To love your neighbor. To eat with other sinners, to be a healing force in our world. And so the greatest sign of this King of Love, this new covenant, of course, is when Jesus died on the cross. That's where he got his crown, was on the cross, where he lost his life for us. No greater love has anyone than this, that they lay down their life. No greater love. And so this day and this season, we are grateful for this King of Love who comes to us. Who transforms us inside. And we are here to worship and give thanks and praise and receive from this King of Love. So I'd invite you to join in our hymn. It's the King of Love my shepherd is, whose goodness faileth never. And so indeed we give thanks and praise and worship to this King of Love, who our shepherd is, whose goodness to us will faileth never. Amen.